Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 442. I am Chris.
Oh my God. That's not a real number, is it?
It is a real number.
Every time I hear the number now, I'm like, I can't believe we've done this.
Normally, I don't vocalize the 100th part of it, but yes, this is the 442nd show. So Tony is here.
Again.
Don't sound too thrilled.
Earl is here.
Howdy.
And Jeff is here.
I feel like someone should have stopped us at some point.
Yeah, they failed. They missed the boat.
Problem.
We jumped the shark like 300 episodes ago, but
it's like, fuck it.
At this point, just keep going.
We jumped the
now,
shark.
Now we can't stop because we've just gone too far.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just like, just keep going. People would be disappointed if it's now a staple. So I don't know how many people would actually be disappointed, but
like two.
Yeah.
But they'd be really disappointed, so we can't let them go.
Where are the episodes at, guys? We got not a lot of new stuff. but
it's been one of those weeks.
Yeah.
It'll start to turn around. It's going to start to turn around after this week, but
does it?
Yeah, I feel like it does. Coming. Yeah, well, I feel like March is stacked with stuff, especially in the later half, like movies and games.
I also heard that about February, and then February happened.
February.
February's better left forgotten.
I will say, though, it's weird because it seems – because I guess nobody coordinated with each other. It's like, I think it was yesterday, Wednesday, we got reviews for DMC5. We got previews for Days Gone, the new Mortal Kombat 11 story trilogy, and then new from Software game.
Sekiro.
Yeah. Like, all within, like, 2 hours of each other. I'm like, you folks didn't have spread this out over the week to make it seem like stuff was going on any other day.
How about this? Later this month, all right, so Friday, March 22nd, I'm going to see a concert. That same day, the movie Us comes out. And Sekiro comes out. It's like, I don't know, dude. That week is going to be awesome.
You can't handle that amount of entertainment.
I know. It's much for great. You.
Jeff's
it's like these, like, it's like stop and go. Like, you know, I don't know.
But Stellaris came out on console.
Came out again.
And Tony, you've been playing it.
I have. So. It's Stellaris on console, so it's the same game that I've played, like, you know, I probably have like 200 hours in the game. So it's back on a new system. I always worry about games like this on console. The control schemes never seem to match up very well because they're always designed for mouse and a keyboard, and there's always like 10,000 menus to go through, and like, how are they going to portray the information? And it's just, it almost never works out. There's been like, you know, like two successful grand strategy games on console.
Mm-hmm.
Halo Wars and Civilization Revolutions. Like there haven't been any other ones. They've all sucked. This, I think, is number three. So nice. The control scheme is awesome. It feels really natural. It makes navigating the menus really intuitive and easy. I think Stellaris in particular lends itself well to a controller control scheme because the units are grouped up really well. And the game itself was designed with this like menu bar every time you like colonize a planet or create a fleet or whatever, it gets added to the bar. So the kind of like background functionality that you'd need to have an easy selection on a console was already there. So it just kind of naturally, like, it adds the fleet to the bar. Now you just hit, you know, right on the D-pad and now you're in the bar and you could just go up and down and select whatever you needed to select. And it has like zoom in and zoom out is really natural. And I don't know. It just feels really good. Nice. The one thing that's kind of weird is, you know, I have Stellaris on PC with all the expansions. And they launched this without any of the expansions.
Hmm.
But Paradox, when they put out an expansion, they always put in a patch that adds a bunch of free features to the game. So it's not vanilla Stellaris. It's not like the Stellaris you played at launch. It's like Stellaris 1.8 with no expansions.
Okay, so it has all like the updates that they did, but
yeah,
not the extra content.
Yeah, and they're launching the first three expansions over the next 4 months.
Okay.
So it's like expansion one, expansion two, month three they're adding multiplayer, and month four is expansion three. But of course you only get the expansions if you got the deluxe edition.
I'm sure they'll sell them separately, right?
Like, oh yeah, totally. But I mean it's totally an enjoyable game without that stuff, but it just adds a lot of chrome and a lot of cool stuff. Like the last one is the Utopia expansion, which lets you build like complexes in space, which is really, really cool.
The whole concept seems really cool.
Just, yeah.
I don't know if I have 200 hours to sink into a game.
Well, I mean, 200 hours is, you know, not one game. It's a bunch of them. So it's very, very enjoyable. I highly recommend it. Especially if you don't have like a gaming PC and you want to try a strategy game. Jeff?
Right. Sims 4 is as strategy as I get.
Fine.
I mean, you tried Civ 6 out, right?
I did. It was a mistake.
All right. Yeah, Solaris might not be...
Might be a bit much for you.
I mean, yeah, like... If there was one, I would like. I already have kind of a grasp on Civ, and even that was like overwhelming. So it's like, that's the one I need to learn. I think
I kind of feel like
that's Solaris, my gateway drug.
The tutorials to Solaris are better. It does a really good job of explaining how to do stuff. I did make the mistake of when I was playing through my first game of turning on all the tutorials because I figured, you know, I need to like hear about the control scheme and, you know, figure out how to do stuff, and then. Apparently the control scheme wasn't that all that hard to figure out. And now I'm stuck with all these tutorials telling me all this stuff I already know. It's driving me crazy. So I had to start a new game just to get away
from it. Well, now I know how to use everything. So. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it literally took me like 2 minutes to figure out the control scheme, which is great. But, you know, then I was hearing about... how to navigate the menus and where do I find this? And oh God, leave me alone, please.
Earl, you've returned to some
old games.
Well,
man, that's going to be a theme this week.
Not super old.
Like... I mean, it is. It is. It well, okay. Well, the big thing is I returned to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Oh but God,
I never left it.
Ancient, no, ancient.
Ancient. I mean, it is 5 years old.
That game is so old. So old, Earl. How could you do this to us?
But, yeah, I mean, I picked it up around the Switch's launch, but I played it on Wii U, and I'm like, you know, it's whatever. It's a fun game, but I'm like, I played it enough on the Wii U. But, you know, a few of my friends got Switches, and, you know, it's something that a lot of people enjoy, so we're like, oh, we'll just make a game night out of it. And, you know, 5 years old, 2 years on the Switch, whatever you want to say, I picked it up and the game, one, it still looks amazing. Like, that game still looks great being on two different systems. But, like, Mario Kart, I don't, you know, it's not, you know, everybody will say this is better, whatever. It just feels great. And it's like riding a bike, you pick it up and you just instantly know what to do and everything just kind of fills with you. It's like muscle memory. You kind of, you know, you figure out the tracks, you figure out the buttons, you figure out the cart, you figure out your characters. And then like 2 hours just fly by when you're just having fun and just trash talking each other. I will say it's the first time I've played the Mario Kart since the Nintendo Switch app launched, and I didn't use the app, but I didn't realize it actually spoke to your Switch while you were playing. So like, well, after I finished, I saw that it was like, oh, you can start a chat room now that you're on it. I'm like, oh, that's neat. Still wouldn't use it, but that's neat that it knows. Still don't know why that can't be on the OS level. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, Here's the double-edged sword, is I would want a new Mario Kart, but like, Mario Kart 8 is still a fantastic game to pick up. And it's hard. I don't know what Nintendo would do to justify a 9 right now.
I'm ready for it.
But I mean, I'm sure people are, but it's like, yeah, what would you go with 9?
You do one of two things. You could do, like,
everything.
That's the third thing. What if you did, like, a Smash Brothers Ultimate, like a Mario Kart Ultimate with all the tracks?
No, that's not a bad idea.
You could do just a new one, kind of like 8, but with that number of tracks and including, like, the same number of, like, hey, we're going to go outside Mario, you know, or whatever. Like, same number of retro tracks, but also same number of, like, DLC, but build it in a base game. Or you do something really fucking, like, ambitious, which I don't think they'll do, and they don't have to do, but, like, an open world racer or something, like, you know, it's like a world that you're going through and doing shit. Like, I would be down for all of the above, by the way. I'm fine with any of those ideas.
In reverse, I think the open world, it would just not be Mario Kart. I think they like the idea of that these can find tracks. Because, again, you want... Because, I mean, I think it would be fine for you and I, but, you know, their market is still also small kids, so I assume want something they can just kind of go around.
Yeah, probably.
I could see the Mario Kart Ultimate, especially being... I mean, at this point, I think most of the Mario Kart tracks have appeared in multiple games. So why not go all in and just remake them all in HD?
Yeah, like all whatever, how many there are. Yeah.
I mean, ideally...
I'm so excited for that.
Ideally, if you're going all in, I would also do the whole thing where I maybe bring back the double dash mechanic. You know, I bring back the different mechanics that you introduced in different games for special modes or something like that. I figured if you could do Rollies in 8, because I know that was this thing in Wii. I would want them to do more characters like Link and Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing, Villager and stuff like that. But you don't want to go too heavy because it's still Mario Kart. I would like to see them, like, this wouldn't be Mario Kart, but I would love to see them do something like Diddy Kong Racing, or I guess Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing, where it's like a all Nintendo type deal, where you can get characters from various games and have like a track in space, or, you know, one on Hyrule Fields and your horseback racing or something like that. But I am curious what they go with that in the future. And then the other game, well, I actually didn't get to start this because it has so much data too. I had downloaded DC Universe Online.
Oh my God. Why?
I actually like the game. I mean, it's free to play, which is always an easy sell for me. And I used to play it on the PlayStation 3, and I was just kind of combing through the Xbox, and it just happened to be like one of their featured games for some odd reason. I'm like, sure, why not? And I mean, since I've played it, they've added a ton of content, and MMOs are kind of nice, like, oh, I'm going to do like a half an hour mission. You feel like you're making progress and stuff. And I mean, most of it's going to base, beating up a bunch of characters and bringing something back to a base, but it's fun to create your character and kind of deck them out. And from what I remember with DC Universe Online, like it always helps to have friends, but you can also do a lot of stuff on your own.
That's good.
Yes, that also does remind me. I did try a relatively new game. I'm going to put in quotes because it's on the Switch now. But Smite.
Oh, that's been out for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, but the Switch version just came out last week or the week before.
Is that the third person kind of action MOBA?
It's like a god game. You're a god, right?
I mean, I think you're a god. You're a god. You're a god. Like, literally, your characters are gods. Like, Dora's in it, the serpent and stuff like that. I think god. I think of like there was that that Xbox game where like you had like those giant like guards and like one on each team, and you basically had to destroy them. I can't remember the name, but yeah, it's a MOBA. It's
maybe I'm thinking of that too.
Yeah, it's gonna drive me nuts not knowing the name of that one. But yeah, I mean, it's an action mode, but it's weird because it's from Hi-Rez, I think. And the Switch has it's that, and it has crap. What's the other mode? Arena of Valor. So it has those two, which are very similar in design. They're kind of simplified Giga Legends. Actually, not even simplified Giga Legends, because this is oh crap. Not a, it's a. It's a MOBA, but it's closer to like an arena fighter, not a fight, but like an arena game. Because it's not like actual like spawn points or anything like that. It's basically two ends, and you're just kind of making your way across, killing other players and their minions. Where like with Arena of Valor, there's actually bases in the middle that you want to take out and destroy so that your people can move better, and then there's different games you can play. Well, this is pretty much just like rush each other, get kills. I think you get 5 points for killing an enemy, one for killing a computer, 15 points if the giant golem makes it to your side, and stuff like that. It's a really fun game. Again, just playing on my own, it's a great way to kill like 10, 15 minutes.
Interesting. Is it's free to play?
Yeah, it has that free-to-play mechanic a lot of games have, where it's like it's free to play, but we'll give you like five of the 30 characters a week, and it rotates every week.
So you have no idea how to use who you have?
I mean, you can unlock them, you can buy them and stuff like that. But like you'll get a handful of characters. So let's say, for instance, you become really familiar with Thor, and then next week Thor is not around. You can either purchase him or try to get familiar with one of the new characters of that week.
Do you earn like in-game currency that you can buy characters with, or
I believe so. I think it's in-game currency, and then like an actual
obviously like actual cash that you can pay
yeah. I mean,
buying pistols or something?
it works for my play style because I just pick whatever character is interesting, so it doesn't really matter. I'm sure if I spent a lot of time on it, I would have that character I want. But for the most part, I usually just pick a character that looks interesting to me, or for the most part, a thing that has mid-range attacks. I don't have to get in close, but I also don't want to be like that guy in the corner not having any fun with the action.
Yeah. Well, enjoy.
Oh, and that reminds me of one more game. I play some more Warframe on the Switch.
How's that working out?
It is not working out.
Oh, great.
Well, I hear that. I hear this segment. This section is a problem on any console, really. But there's a segment on the Switch. It's like the open field. There's one part that's like kind of an open world, and between the game being taxing and I guess the lag. There's a bunch of flying enemies, but you can't actually shoot them because you can't end up the shot. Because like by the time you end up the shot, they kind of like lagged ahead of you, and it's hard to kind of read ahead of the shot. And it was the most frustrating like 15 minutes of my life trying to shoot these things down. I just ended up like randomly spamming my pistol shots, hoping that something hit them when they went overhead. And eventually they would get down, and I would just melee them to death. I am told you do not have to go to this planet all the time. I want to do like that main mission and then never come back here. Because like when you're in like the narrow corridors and stuff, or like the stages, it's fine. But this open world space is just killer, and it just kills the frame rate.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be putting much time into Warframe on the Switch.
I wanted. I want to get it on the Xbox as well. I have it on the PS4, but I think Xbox and Switch have cross play and cross progress.
That would be nice.
Because yeah, again, my thing is I always like the games I can play on the go. I guess that one doesn't count as much as it's an online game. But yeah, since everybody's talking about Anthem, and like whenever people talk about like how Anthem and Destiny is disappointing them, Warframe always comes up as the alternative.
What was that?
No, I was saying that whenever people talk about Destiny or Anthem disappointing them, Warframe is always like that alternative. Like, oh, if you don't like that, you should try Warframe.
Yeah. I
And
don't know. I feel that they're very different game, like similar, but very different.
I think
Wait, what? What did you just say, Chris? I'm sorry, my logic meter went off.
Well, they're like the concept of them is the same. Like they're shooters. You get loot. You upgrade your characters, but they're very different in the way they approach the gameplay. And Warframe seems like very much like here are some, at least what I've played of it, which hasn't been a ton, but it's here are some like very specific levels that you play through, whereas like, you know, Destiny or Anthem or like you kind of drop down and like there's a free play section, but they're not handled the same way.
It isn't, but I mean, I guess it's the idea. It's like it's a co-op shooter essentially, and people kind of see that similarities because there's a lot more systems in Warframe that you have to get used to.
Yeah, there's like a ton of things. Like, and that was one of the things that like kind of like stopped me from really going deep on it was there's a lot to learn here.
Yeah. That, and I could be mistaken, I remember playing with a friend a few months ago. It's also very confusing setting up a game to play with friends and understanding that everybody, like, because you, like, you don't necessarily, like, you're on your own ship, then you have to have them board your ship, and then you drop down to the mission, and it's like, hey, can I just pick a party, then that person picks a mission? But yeah, it's a fun. I guess that's the thing. Fundamentally, it's just really fun to control. I think just because your melee attacks are so cool, and like my person has like a bow and arrow, which is always amazing.
That sounds.
In Warframe, you have a bow and arrow?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Does it shoot like lightning arrows or electronic arrows or?
I'm not that far yet, but yeah, I mean, because yeah, it's that. I think it's that, and a lot of people are keen on the mobility, just because like you're essentially like a robotic ninja.
Yes,
just like in real life.
Just like in real life.
New York is a scary place.
We do have like mutant turtles in our sewers, so you know.
It's true. You play anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it. So keeping on the old game train.
Yeah, old games.
Yeah. I went back and replayed Devil May Cry 4 because Devil May Cry 5 was coming out, and DMC 4 is part of Game Pass. It is. That's a weird game. A really weird 20 levels. And the first 11 you play as a different character, not named Dante, just fine. Nero is okay. He has a really cool fist that can punch things.
I have one of those.
Yes, does it glow blue though?
Not normally, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his doesn't normally either. Like you have
to, only if I'm like standing out in the cold for really long.
That's not glowing. Nero has a different type of fighting style, and then about 11 or 12 missions in, you gain control of Dante, who's historically been the series protagonist, and you go back through the areas you've already played and fight the bosses you've already fought
for like the last half of the game.
Yeah,
that does not sound awesome.
And then
sounds like padding.
And then it gets better. Then you retake control of Nero and you refight the bosses you've already fought as Nero and as Dante
for a third time.
Wow. In a boss rush area. And this is before you can fight the final boss. Yeah, it's kind of poorly designed. I enjoyed playing it, but that's really bad
design. You know what I love about like Bayonetta 2? Like Bayonetta 2 is probably the game that got me like into the genre. It's like it's not afraid to be a short game. Like it's like a couple hours long, but it's fucking awesome every step of the way. You know, I think that one would be just a dozen levels or so.
Yeah,
they give you reasons to play it again. But like, it's just if you want to sit down and play it, you could almost play it in one sitting.
Yeah, and this is not playable in one sitting. I think it took me like 10 or 11 hours to get through. So, yeah. So there's that. But Devil May Cry 5 comes out now. I think it's out now.
I'm going to be playing it very shortly.
I am interested to see what they do there, because I heard that they kind of double down on the combat stuff and get away from like the puzzle solving and the platforming.
Which is, I guess, what people want. I'm fascinated.
The heart of it.
I am curious, because like, I painted both demos and I didn't much care for it, but it's getting amazing reviews. So I guess maybe the demo wasn't necessarily indicative, or maybe I just paid the demo poorly.
It could be.
Sounds like a suit. Like,
well, but if you play the demo poorly, doesn't that mean you'll probably play the other game poorly too? And
I didn't say I was going to buy it. I just said I was really, because like I think 80s, high 80s on Metacritic.
Yeah. Did you play Bayonetta?
Yes, I have Bayonetta.
I mean that Devil May Cry was kind of a precursor from that, right? It was it was Kamiya and the Resident Evil guy who's now with Bethesda, drawing a blank on his name. Anyway. That's kind of like Bayonetta spawned out of Devil May Cry at some point.
It's like that. It's weird because like I always used to like be like, oh, fuck that genre game. But like, I don't know, man. Bayonetta 2, it clicked. Like, it was like, oh, yeah. Like, this is fucking, it's just fun. Like, it's a fun short romp.
I think it's just that it's what Marvel vs. Capcom used to be for me. It's a game that makes you look like, make you feel like a badass, even if you're not necessarily doing anything that fancy. Like Bayonetta, like, almost all of her attacks are just flashy and over the top.
Yeah,
it just makes it like you're amazing.
Well, that's like from what I've heard of Devil May Cry 5 is like, it's just like the combat options are super deep. Like, so you can just like, there's so many different branches to like the badassery on that. I don't know. I think I'm gonna have fun with it. I'm not too worried.
I enjoyed the platforming and the puzzle solving from the previous game, so that's kind of a bummer that got taken out. But I do enjoy the weird goofiness that those stories entail. So they're weird, weird games.
Oh, I mean, also the goofiness of the combat too. At least, like from one video review I saw, the dude was like surfboarding around the room or some bullshit, like doing some super move. Like it looked absolutely ridiculous, man. I was like, hell yeah! Like, and that's like part of what I love about like Bayonetta is like the spectacle of it. Like, it's just like, it's like you're fighting on top of a fucking dragon or some bullshit, like as you're flying through a city. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah.
One of the big battles in Devil May Cry 4 is you're fighting like this skyscraper size statue, and it's absurd how you go about doing it. So I'm sure that Devil May Cry 5 has just this nutty combat scenario, so we'll see how that turns out. I also played through Parasite Eve.
Now, that's not an Xbox Game Pass, is it?
No.
So what brought that about?
Somebody asked a question last month about like a game that, you know, in your backlog that you haven't played or you'd like to play. And Parasite Eve 2 is one that's kind of been sitting around for me. I played like maybe an hour of it when it first came out and then got distracted and have been distracted for 20 years. So I was like, hey, you know what? I want to play that. I'm going to play through that game. But before I do that, I'm going to go back and give Parasite Eve another go. And I've already played through Parasite Eve previously. That game still holds up. It's pretty cool. The combat is interesting. It's kind of like a mix between like Resident Evil and an RPG. So there are random encounters, but it's not like Final Fantasy random encounters where every couple steps you're getting attacked. It's like you'll go into a room and maybe you'll be attacked in that room, and then a battle arena will form based on the pre-rendered room, and you'll fight the enemies then. And once you finish them, that room's pretty safe to walk around in. But they're it's not necessarily survival horror, because there's not really a lot of like resource management, but there you are like getting guns, and you do have to kind of manage your ammo at least early on, and then you have like a special magic powers that she can do, and it's quick. Like for an RPG, that game's over in like 11 hours.
And oh, wow.
That was with me having to run the final boss like four times because I kept dying at the very end. But yeah, so like 10-11 hours to finish that game. So it kind of looks okay. It looks like a PlayStation era game, but I think like the pre-render backgrounds actually still look pretty good, and the CG cutscenes for the most part look decent. It's fun. So I'm gonna play Parasite Eve 2 next, so we'll see how that goes.
How are you paying them?
I own them, but I actually played Parasite Eve via emulation on my PC.
Okay.
But I could have played it on like the Vita or
no, that's why I was like, is it secret on the PS4?
No, it's not. It is. If you have a Vita, you can play it there. It is on the PS3. It's one of the PlayStation classics. And then obviously, if you own the disc and a system.
Is it on the PlayStation Classic?
Not the PlayStation Classic, but like it is a PlayStation Classic that you can get on
PS. And here you almost got me to click on the $39.99.
I was about to say, I was curious, because it's like $40 right now.
No,
like,
I think the only Square game that is on that is Final Fantasy VII.
Which is apparently going to be on everything in like 2 weeks. So.
Yep. That's coming out on Xbox and Switch next week, right?
Week
two, after. 2 weeks?
Yeah.
How much is it? $40?
$16. $15.99.
All right, well, at least that's reasonable. It's probably still too much.
Sort of reasonable.
It's probably still too much, but you know.
I mean, you could get the PlayStation Classic for $40, and that comes with like 19 other games.
But 16 of them suck.
No, 16 of them suck.
Fine, okay, 15.
17. It's funny because I think you can actually buy Final Fantasy VII on the PS3 for Vita and for play on PS3 for like $10, but it doesn't have the trophy support or achievement support that this new one will have. Some of the visuals have been cleaned up a little bit for this new version, so maybe that's how they're justifying the additional $6. I don't know.
Sure, we'll go with that.
$16 isn't bad for that. That's a 40-hour game. So
yeah, but it's just when you think of it as basically like an old ROM. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, it's still good though. I will probably get it for the Switch, and then maybe at some point for the Xbox, or reverse that. I don't know. I do like getting achievements, so getting it on Xbox would be kind of funny. Jeff.
Yes.
You played some old games too.
Wait, yeah. No, Jeff. We have a Jeff on the podcast.
Yeah, I've played old games, man. We've all been playing old ass motherfucking games. What does that tell you?
I haven't played old games. What are you talking about? My game came out last week.
It just happens to be a new
version of an old game.
Well, I've been playing a little bit. I'd probably say I'm almost half. No, I don't know about halfway. Maybe a third of the way through Batman: Arkham Asylum from 2009. So it's 10 years old as of this year.
Is this the remastered version?
Yeah, that's it's on Game Pass.
It's new.
I mean.
What's remastered about it?
Nothing. It looks, I mean, it looks exactly the same. The game looked really good when it came out. I think today, you know, there's a little bit of rough edges about it, but like, still not a bad looking game. And gameplay wise, I wish most games were this good. This is like easily, in my opinion, one of the best games of last generation. It holds up really well. In my opinion, also, it's like the best one of the series. Like, I think they like went the wrong way by making an open world after this. This is really awesome. Like, this going back to this is just like, yeah, oh yeah. I remember, like, this is why I fucking was like so blown away by this. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it on that. Like, it's fucking, the gameplay still holds up really awesome. Like, you know, that mix of kind of like a Metroid type deal where you're like getting new abilities, but also just like your room by room encounters and the creativity you could have with taking down all the bad guys in the room, and like how it made you feel like Batman, and how like just well produced in general the game was. Like,
You playing it like that stupid Detective Vision or whatever? Like,
this
kind of ruined the visuals for me because I like played the entire game with him all the time.
Made everything like gray and orange.
Yeah, I hate it when I'll like forget that I'm still using it sometimes where I don't even have to be. So I mean, I use it, but yeah,
that was the word. The like, it was a really good game. I really enjoyed it.
It's a cool,
but I couldn't stop myself from using it, and it like,
well, I mean, you were supposed to use it.
But the game is utterly beautiful, and you never get to see it because everything is goddamn black.
The sound when you turn it on is a little like, it's almost like the Sam Fisher pew. I don't know. I just love switching between the modes and shit. That's cool.
Jeff just started pressing the button on and off.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if you guys like played the remaster of this or played it.
I own it. Recently, I keep staring at it. I'm like, I should play that one of these days, and I just don't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and if you guys have a Game Pass, it's on there too. But yeah, like, it's my first time playing this one since it originally came out, and it's been a series of me like just remembering why I loved it in the first place. I'm like, oh yeah, this is actually really amazing. I just never got into the other ones after it so much.
That's why I didn't want to replay it, because I have such fond memories of it being amazing. Yeah. That I feel like I'm going to replay to make, oh, this isn't as good as I remember.
I mean, it's a little slow and clunky starting off. Like, it takes a while to get going. Like, it has like that long kind of intro sequence where you're like rolling Joker into the place, you know? Well, once you get in the gameplay, like when the game is going, like the gameplay is still really fun.
I think that felt atmosphere, again, kind of like you mentioned, you didn't get into the other one. I think the other ones go so broad with their story and their focus that it doesn't have that charm like this one has of being in this building.
And yeah.
It, like that opening, it's like a movie because you walk, like, I mean, part of it's that Unreal Engine where it's kind of goofy that he can't run while talking to people. But, you know, it does build atmosphere with him walking through Arkham and seeing everybody. And then realizing this is a giant trap for him.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just going when you go to replay that, like, it feels like, all right, can I get going? I want to start playing. You know. And like, you know, the beginning, like any game, like most games, like the beginning is just like introducing you to ideas and shit. But like, once you're like an hour or two in and you're fucking around, it still holds up really fun. And to me, adding an open world just never added anything to, like, this game worked better when it was like this little closed off, like, kind of building, like this little island.
I agree, Jeff.
I agree. That's why I've always held Asylum as my favorite.
Well, some people will not agree with us, though. Some people really
City, yeah. Which I will give
it's
them
fine.
City.
If you like it, it's fine.
I don't get people who say Night.
That game sucks. I'm sorry. I hate it.
I at least finished Night. I did not finish City. City's the only one I didn't finish. Like, I really disliked City. I was like, this is not what I liked. Like, it, ultimately, though, like, when you think about it, it kind of is. It's just spread out over an open world. But, like, it just made it less
cool to me. I think what made City work, especially initially, was the fact that you had the guiding, which you had in Asylum, but it was a smaller thing. So it's kind of like Spider-Man, where it just felt good to travel from point A to point B. So I didn't mind it, but I do prefer the much more compact Asylum.
Another cool thing about Asylum, too, is like you kind of almost start with nothing, and then like you're constantly getting more and more, where I think in the other games you kind of did start with your kind of arsenal.
You get stuff,
yeah.
The thing that's always weird with that is some of them is just like, oh, you could have gotten this anytime you wanted. You would just take your sweet time.
Like, you call Alfred, send the package.
Yeah, I, dude. I mean,
you could have sent the package 4 hours ago.
Is that in the sequels or the first one?
The sequels.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think he finds his stuff, and then at some point you go back to the Batcave and he'll get new equipment. That makes sense. Where in like the other ones, it's like they drop it via pin, and it's like you couldn't have called us in. Like, 6 bosses ago.
Yeah. Also, that's another thing. Like, I think I've done 2 bosses probably so far, and they're both, I think, really cool. Like, there's like a scarecrow one where I'm like, you're like running up like this like spiral staircase like up his tower, and you have to like avoid his gaze and shit.
I think you're gonna do that a couple more times.
Yeah. 3 times.
There is, I fought Bane so far. We like
just jump on his back
and tear shit out.
Cause that's pretty much all the boss battles in that game.
Yeah.
Where you have to like blind him, make him run into something, and jump on his back.
Is that really all the boss battles play out?
That's pretty much all of them.
Are the worst part of that game.
I think the only other two that are unique, I believe, and I could be wrong, is Killer Croc, which isn't really a boss battle. You just run from him.
Yep. And Poison Ivy.
And Poison Ivy. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember that boss being really cool. I just love the fact that the game has bosses, too. Like, I don't know. Like, this game just, like, again, it would be my top 10. If, like, we did a list of that gen again, it would be definitely in my top 10. But I doubt I'll finish it because now games are starting to come out again. It was fun to revisit, though.
What else you play, Jeff?
I also have played a little bit of Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
Okay, tell us about this.
Oh my god.
I've owned this for a while.
Original
now.
Turok? Like,
yeah.
N64 Turok.
Yeah.
The game that made me throw up. That stupid thing makes me dizzy every time.
Really?
I can see it. Like, if you're susceptible to that, especially like the camera movement on the character feels, or something about the character movement feels weird about it, even today. But it's the N64 one, but re-released on Xbox One. I bought it like a couple months ago because it was on sale for $5.
I think that's when I got it too.
So you own it as well, yeah. And I'd say for $5, that was a good move on my part. This game's fun, dude. Like, it's weird because like you think that those N64 shooters can't hold up, and in many ways they don't. But I don't know, as a super basic like shooter, I think it does hold up. And like for me, it's like there's something about that I prefer to modern shooters. So I'm having fun with it,
right? Like,
yeah.
And this was even pre, I think, very briefly pre GoldenEye. I think Turok actually predates it by a little bit. Couple months.
I think it's just close.
It's close, yeah.
I think like GoldenEye came out in August or September, and Turok was like March or April.
It feels very much like 7? Feels like a Doom or a Duke Nukem, where it's like find all the keys in the level and then exit the level, like. This kind of a design element.
Very simplistic.
I like that though. Like a little bit of platforming thrown in too, which is like, does that hold up super great? Maybe not, but I don't think it's terrible. Like I'm like again, like I'm with having fun a lot of fun with the game. I think I'm on the third level out of, I think there's like eight. I never really played it on the N64 back in the day. Like, I tried it out. But I think at the time, it was an early example of almost like a two-stick shooter, except you use, like, the C-stick to...
Well, not the C-stick, the C-buttons.
C-buttons, yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
I think that's how it used to play. And yeah. Then back during that time, I was not ready for that. Like, I was, like, I just played the games with the one stick, like Bond or whatever.
Well, I think Bond was just...
I think you could, but it was not like you could easily play with one stick on GoldenEye.
Did GoldenEye have a like lock on?
No. Yeah, dude. It didn't.
Oh, you mean like auto aim?
Auto aim. Not like Z lock. That's but how like auto aim.
Yeah. On N64. Like if you face in a general direction, I mean, most go over to the box.
Yeah, how do most shooters do it. But that's why, because auto aim is not going to two different things. That's why.
Yeah, no. Like, was there auto aim for it? Like, yeah. Where you were kind of like pointing towards an enemy, and it would.
And it would snap to it, yeah.
So yeah, like I think that Turok did have that back in the day. If you guys can tell me or not, I can't remember. Like, I do remember like trying to play it and like not being able to handle the controls the first time I played it. So, like, I never got into it.
So I have not actually played Turok ever. I now own it more than once because I got a cartridge, the original N64 cartridge, last month as part of one of my retro boxes. But so maybe I need to whip out the N64 and find out.
But you don't have the Xbox one?
No, I have the Xbox version as well.
I was going to say, cause, all right, so
which is probably the better version to play.
Regardless of how it plays on 64, on the Xbox version, it basically plays like a modern shooter, although I could definitely see what Tony's saying about getting motion sickness. There's some weird feel to the dual stick motion in this.
Yep.
It's hard for me to explain. It's almost like a floaty, bobbing type of thing. But, but at least it has that. It has the modern controls, and I did touch up the graphics on it. So that, like, I guess on the N64 one, everything was kind of covered in fog because there was no draw distance because it was barely handling what it was doing. Right. And this is, like, it's cleaned up. It's clear. Like, it still looks like an N64 game, but it's looking way better than it actually looked on
N64. There's still fog, though? Because, like, I would think that that adds to kind of, like,
there's no, I think it is cleaned up. Like, I think it, like... Oh. It just feels like you're in a jungle hunting dinosaurs. Okay. It's rad. it's not like, I don't think it's like where like Silent Hill or something where it would be adding something to it. It's like, it was pure technical limitations as opposed to mirroring the limitations to the tech or to the story or whatever. Like, it's like here, it's just like, it feels like you're in a lush green jungle and you can kind of see as far as you can. You know, it still looks like shit, but it's like it's part of the charm. Like, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm happy I actually finally started playing it.
That game comes out on Switch soon too. I think.
I know.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Then the sequel, which is, I believe, superior.
Most people say that.
Yeah. It's been 20 some odd years.
So you played Turok.
I played 2 because I remember the hype around it. Because part of the appeal of the second one, I think, is all the crazy weapons.
This one had a lot of that too, though. It has like exploding fucking like.
Is this the one with the cerebral bar? Yeah, I think that's what it's called. It's like the arrow that goes in somebody's head and then explodes.
It's probably just way more of that in the second one, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, this was, and it's odd because games don't really go crazy with, I guess, Borderlands stuff. Because, like, that was also a big appeal of Perfect Dark back then, too. With a lot of the out there sci fi weapons.
The laptop gun, baby.
Yeah. Or even the sentry gun.
Farsight.
Yeah, there was one you can shoot through walls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the laptop gun. It doubled as you throw it. You throw it to a wall.
Okay, that was when that became the century gun.
Yeah.
The fun fact is that game, I guess there's an Xbox version. I remember going back to play that in college. Those games did not hold up because their frame rates are like 15.
They still work for me. Like, Perfect Dark is still a perfectly playable game for me. Like, it's just maybe because I grew up on it and I loved it so much. I don't know.
I grew up on it too, but like, I guess when you're younger and you're not accustomed, like, I mean, all games back then weren't like 60 frames per second. I can deal with 30 frames, but like when you get to 10 and 15, it's just like, it's very nauseating.
Yeah, it was adjacent to that, Diablo is releasing on GOG, and evidently the original version of Diablo was like 20 frames per second. Like, it's like, I'm like looking back, like, that's, it's nuts, like that.
Yeah,
there were like these variable rates. Like, some games were 15, some were 20. There was no like set.
It worked back then because you didn't really have the standard for it. It's once that game started being like 30 as a default, and it's like, oh, okay, it's hard to go backwards.
Yeah, it's just, there's something about like those old shooters that I like. Beyond just the technical shit, there's just something about the game design I prefer about like those old shooters than the new ones. Even though I can recognize that like games have evolved for the better, regardless.
I am going to blame Earl for my purchase of Fuse this week.
You don't remember Overstrike?
Yeah, I played Fuse when it came out. I was waiting around for my daughter, and I stopped in a GameStop, and they had Fuse, and it was under $5. And to tie this back to Turok, they also had that, I think it was 2008 or 2009 Turok game.
Oh, yeah, it did come.
Yeah, there was a reboot of the series. I think it reviewed
pretty well. Like, it reviewed in like sevens or so, and I picked that up too. So,
yeah, I remember I did play. Like, I checked that out from GameStop or something. I was like, it seems okay, but it wasn't compelling enough for me to like play through the whole thing.
Right. I do like dinosaurs though. So
I'm looking at this Fuse game now though, and it's starting to like give me more GameStop flashbacks. And this is super generic fucking cover, dude, is terrible. Okay. But Insomniac Games,
feet, isn't it?
But okay, now
it's to cut their heads off.
Yes,
it's from their neck down.
Now look up a game called Overstrike,
which is funny because they mention it on the back cover. You're part of the Overstrike 9 or something that. Insomniac fucked that game up.
Is that like Overstrike evolved into that?
Yeah.
Well, let's go with devolved.
Yeah, that's
better. Went from something with more style
and personality to that
generic.
So like
suits.
It's like if you think like Gears is generic, like Fuse takes it like to a whole new level.
Yeah, and to Chris's point, that's what I was talking about. It's like the original Overstrike is kind of like, it would have been ahead of the curve because now a lot of shooters are personality driven. Yeah. You get Overwatch, you get Apex, you know, it's character driven now. And I guess EA, was it EA?
Yeah, I think EA published that.
Yep.
I guess they were too afraid of it, so they created this generic squad based shooter that nobody remembers. And I have a friend working at Insomniac, and I was asking him, like, is there anything about this game that he's like, I didn't see any. It's like one of those things that people just don't talk about here.
It's so weird because Insomniac is like, I'm looking at their like track record. It's amazing. Like, they're a great studio, and there's Fuse, which I've never played it. So I can't speak to Fuse, but it's like a weird spot. Like, they, you know, they had like a very clear path, and then there was like this game. It's just random.
Yeah, that's what happens when you work with EA.
Evidently.
Yeah, don't do it. Fuck EA.
All right, there's a few news items that are all kind of flagged for us.
None of them were EA centric this week, so that's good.
No. All I gotta say, one last thing about EA is give me the fucking Sims expansions for a reasonable goddamn price. Sorry.
Not happening. How they make the money on it.
Oh, yeah, and I guess one is EA centric somewhat. Yeah, adjacent.
So, how are you not going to talk about Anthem? Come on,
isn't it? What are these Anthem?
There's a great Anthem story about the fucking guns.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And I have not followed Anthem at all, but I saw that story, and that's one of the funniest fucking stories I've ever seen.
Okay, just to kind of the background on that is that it was discovered that in Anthem, the best loot you can get in the game is the stuff that the game gives you at the start.
It's like a level one.
It's like
a level one rifle or some bullshit. Like the most probably
something I got rid of a long time ago. Didn't even think about it. I'm like, it's level one gun. I've got a level 12 gun now.
Because they put all the number shit in without actually doing the work to make that right.
Well, it
at least that's from what I can tell. It's a bug.
Yeah, it wasn't that exactly. It was, I guess, that the weapon scales up when it's not. So it scales up with the enemies. So it's doing the same amount of damage. So it's actually doing better than any other gun you would get because it's scaling up to compensate for that. And I guess they just didn't account for that. And it's not just the guns. It's also apparently some of the level 1 abilities are better than if you got a level 15 version of it.
My God.
How do you mess that up?
God.
Well, I mean, that's not an easy thing, I guess, to do or whatever, to program it, or to, balance it too,
But it's literally, these are things that you find in, alpha, right? This game was clearly released way before it should have been.
You expect a studio like that to, and, studio publisher, all that, the amount of money, it's not. It shouldn't be just haphazard and half-assed and here you go, and maybe we'll figure this out and fix this. Come on, man.
That's my thing. Because I think if this was a normal game, it's a funny story. But that's it. It's just a funny story. It's just the fact that it's this big AAA title from EA and that this is a thing that slipped through their radar. It's just, and it just kind of piles up with everything else that's kind of gone wrong with Anthem. And it's like, it feels like everything was just half-assed to get it out the door as soon as possible.
And it's like, we're used to patches and shit at this point. Like, that's super common, but it's like, for a game to be fundamentally broken in that way, I think, is kind of like bigger than just like, oh, there were some things we need to fix. Like, that's a fucked up thing to have, that broken in the game.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean, it's not because Ghost is an antithesis of the design. I saw on some forum somebody's comment is, "What type of loot shooter is it where the best way to play the game is to not collect loot?"
What a game!
I am glad I am holding off on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it never at the first reveal, I thought it looked cool, but ever since, it's just And then I've loved watching from the sidelines. People get really angry about this game or emotional or whatever. I debate it, and I'm just sitting there going, I don't give a fuck.
Okay, so I should have brought this up earlier. So I played what's probably going to be my last bit of Anthem until they put in some really solid fixes. So Don has been playing, and Don really likes Anthem, shockingly, because he's not for some reason he hasn't had any of these bug issues or whatnot. So he's like, Tony, do a stronghold with me. And stronghold is the raid element of the game. So, all right, we'll do a stronghold. I get in, we're about a quarter of the way through, and my sound cuts out. So I'm playing this entire raid, and it's lasting an hour, completely silent. The only parts of it I can hear through Don's headset. It's Don is my window to what's actually going on. And then the enemies seem to be scaling up to Don. So Don is a level 15. The two guys who are on the mission with us and I are all level 10. And we're being massacred. Don is like a god, but we keep getting like knocked down. So the raid kind of sucks for us, but Don's like, this is great. This is so much fun. Great, Don. I'm glad you're having a good time. We make it through all the way through to the end. The end boss was actually really fun. Like that part was great. We beat him. We go to the loot screen and my game crashes. I lose all of my loot and all of my XP. I wasted an hour. I'm like, Don, this is great. This is the last time I'm playing Anthem.
Yeah. I feel you on that.
So.
Oh, Anthem.
Yeah, so Anthem.
All right, let's see what else we got here. The Nintendo, is it Labo?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a VR component coming out?
There's a Nintendo Labo VR kit coming out next month. That is pretty much the extent of what we know. It is $40 for the beginner kit and an $80 for the complete package. It seems like, again, at Gabo, it's a cardboard. It's cardboard, so you can cut it
cardboard
out.
Cardboard VR.
I mean, that's
a thing. You just imagine that it's virtual, even though it's like the cardboard cutter.
What was it? Google cardboard. Yeah. So Nintendo cardboard.
Yeah, and I mean, essentially, that's all we know. I think most people are kind of curious to see what the actual software is for it.
Boy, am I not.
They said people.
Yeah.
You're not a people.
That's true. I'm not a people.
So, yeah. Is this using the Switch as the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very interesting because it's using the Switch as a screen, but because it's cardboard, it's not a helmet necessarily. So you also have to kind of hold it on your head or your face, I guess.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so this is...
Can't give us a cardboard strap.
Also, don't break your Switch.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility too. So it's... Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like I said, there's really nothing aside from them announcing it and it being out in like a month.
It kind of amazes me that I guess Labo was somewhat of a success because, like...
They're releasing more of it.
I've never seen it. Like, I've never seen anyone talk about it. I've never seen it really on store shelves. Like,
oh, I've seen it a lot on store shelves. I see
sitting
huge...
there, 80 of them.
That's right. I see it never moving. Like, it's just sitting there.
I never saw them at all. Like, I never even saw them stocked. Like, I never noticed them.
I see them stocked. That's the problem. Usually it's opposite for Nintendo. You never see the things in stock. But you can go to most stores. You can find a robot in car. I think some places had them for like $40 for the kits, to get inventory. I think where it does do well, and I don't know if it does seem to like they get schools and like STEM programs to buy into it.
Okay. I could see that.
But yeah, that's not necessarily something you'd see on social media. But like, yeah, you can kind of have some soft software sales. It's not setting the world on fire, but maybe it's not a very pricey proposition for them.
It is just cardboard.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, they have designed the software that goes
with it. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean... So maybe each one sells like a few hundred thousand, and it's enough to break even. I can't imagine that like, graphically intensive games,
right? Or super difficult to put together.
Did any of you guys get it?
No.
Nope.
No.
There you go.
I would try one, but I live in New York City. I don't have apartment space for cardboard to sit around once I build it.
That's right.
Yeah, and my kids like. Move on to things so quickly that like,
right.
I'm going to spend money on this cardboard. That's going to be literal trash in a day. I'm good. Here's some trash. Play with that instead.
My kids were really excited about it. And then I'd never mentioned it and they forgot about it.
There you
I'm just going to pretend like it never happened.
What's this Tetris 99 Maximus?
Oh, so it is, well, you know, Tetris 99. So it's like, you know, we mentioned that we would think Nintendo would do more with it. So this is the first big in-game event. And it starts, I forget the exact date, but essentially for about a week, UPA Tetris 99, and the number of first place wins you get, accumulates, and whoever the 999 top players each get like $10. It's a small pot, but
sorry.
Whatever. It's
good luck, Jeff. But... good luck.
It's better. I mean, shit. It's $10 than, like, for playing the game that you were probably playing already. Yeah.
You're getting basically half of it back for free if you win. You
know, buy yourself some Bloodstained Curse of the fucking Moon or whatever. Fuck. There you go.
But yes, and it varies. That's what for us. I think in Japan and Europe, it's as long as you win once, you entered into a pool. So ours is a ranking, and theirs is just a kind of lottery system. But it's, you know, it's a great way to kind of get people involved to play. And again, it just kind of opens the door to the fact that it's not just going to be Tetris 99 and done. They are going to do events with it or stuff that kind of gets more people playing.
You know what's crazy is I could see that game being in my top 10. Like, I played a bunch of it. It's so much fun, man. And my girlfriend finally got first place. I will never get first place, but she got first place last night.
Now, how is the best you've ever done, Jeff?
The best I've ever done is, I think, 12. She got first place, but she's on the phone with my friend's girlfriend. She's like just talking on the phone, not paying attention. She got first place. And I was like, maybe that like helped. You know what I mean? Like, where you're just kind of like half, like not just not giving a fuck while you're playing it. You just kinda, like got in the zone. Yeah.
Like, I was trying. Damn it. You're not even trying and you're winning.
Yeah. Here's the thing. She's played it way more than me, and she was really trying to get the first place, and she came in second and third dozen times at least.
Well, now tell her that there's money on the line and she needs.
Yeah, right.
You got to get that $10.
More. Yeah. Shit, man, I'll take it as a credit to my eShop.
And
then like, you owe me $10, Jeff.
There's an Xbox news event next week.
Yes. So they mentioned, I don't know if this is in conjunction with anything, but they did mention that their Xbox thing called Xbox Minute or the thing Major Nelson does. So they're doing it. It's going to have I guess this is where we'll find out about the Halo Master Chief stuff. I think the PC version, and then a few other announcements.
Are we getting Halo this year?
No.
Is it confirmed no, or you just believe no?
I mean, because I could have sworn there was an interview recently where they said it's a long ways off. Yeah. And it also sounds like it's going to be a cross-platform launch title.
It's been a long ways off.
Yeah,
it's a long
time, man. I feel like it's this double-edged sword, because I remember when 5 came out, people said that Halo was good. Because there was a period where, everything's Gears in Halo. And then like they take a break and now it's too long.
Dude, I am ready. I am like so ready for more Halo.
And I think that's a good thing. I think that's what they needed. I think we got to the point where they were doing like they did 3, they did ODST, they did 4, they did Reach, they did 5. Where you were getting what you got like 5 games in the span of 7-8 years.
Yeah.
Even then, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad,
but it was getting to the point where a lot of people were working.
It was not special.
Yeah. So now it's been a while. The only thing is they have to really make sure that they give people what they want, because you can make people wait, but like part of it is, I feel like personally, I think 4 and 5 are kind of deviating from what made Halo, and we're kind of going more towards like a normal first-person shooter.
I think the campaign for 5, I didn't like. I remember I didn't like the bosses they had.
Well, much like Devil May Cry 4, you had to fight the same boss like 3 times.
Yeah, I felt like that game was like the same boss the whole game or some bullshit.
Yeah,
like, I remember, and I got like more and more annoying. Like that's the main thing I remember from that. I thought the multiplayer shit was cool, and like
I think 5 is for me at least the best iteration of that multiplayer.
3 was so good though, you know. That was like the heyday. It was 3, you know.
I think 5 just moved so much better. Like it got back to like just being Halo, like back to kind of you know, what 2 and 3 were, and not having the loadouts like Reach and 4 did, but it did add like the mobility options and the clambering, and I thought those maps were very good.
Either way, like, I'll tell you, man, give me fucking Halo 6 now. I want this year, man.
Yeah, we're getting Gears 5 this year, so.
Oh, yeah, no.
Gears good, Jeff. It's okay.
Gears is good. Yeah, a lot of things are good.
Do I need to play through Gears 4 as single player?
I mean, are you going to play Gears 5 single player, or are you just going to play Horde with us?
You don't play the single
player. Well, that's
what
I did with Gears 4. That's what I'm saying. Is that did I miss out? Should I go back and play it?
I think it's good. It's a fun time. It's only about 7 hours, so.
Oh, it's short.
Yeah, it's not. Those games aren't long at all.
I joke about Gears, but like they're totally fine. Like that's why all I play is the campaigns.
There's a fun like you play in a giant mech at the end of. At the end of 4, you're wrecking some shit.
I think Gears has a lot of fun end game. Is it 2 where you do the Hammer of Dawn and the helicopter?
Oh, yeah.
The end, yeah. You're taking down the thing.
Yeah, the only one that doesn't really have a great ending is the first one, because that boss is just BS.
Yeah, Brom, whatever his name is, he sucks, and that train fight is miserable.
Yeah.
But I love that game.
You do, but I don't. Any boss that can kind of KO you in one hit is just really cheap design.
That's a. I beat that game on the hardest difficulty, which I normally don't play that way.
Do you do that in Halo?
No.
No.
Really?
I fight Halo cheaper.
Thought like big Halo fans, you had to beat it on Legendary. Like that was like the thing.
I beat Halo 3 on Legendary, but with
people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't play Halo on my own. It's my college roommate is a huge Halo fan, and that's how I got into the franchise. So I've played, I think we beat in 3 ODST, 4 on and Reach on Legendary. He has a kid now, so it was very difficult to find time to play 5, which we still haven't beaten yet. So,
yeah,
I know I always say this, but like when the new Halo comes out, if it has the co-op, we gotta do it. We gotta do it.
I'm anytime.
It's so much fun, dude. Because I played with I played 5 a little bit with my brother-in-law. Like we did some of the levels together, and God, it's a blast.
Yeah. So do we have any details on this Microsoft thing next week, or is it just like kind of like their direct?
I think it's just their direct type deal. They've done it before. I forget what it's called. It's hosted by Major Nelson,
right?
As an aside, I don't think this was in the news articles, but I was just thinking, like, EA announced today they're not doing the press conference at E3.
And everyone cheered.
I know. So excited. I'm actually super stoked because partially because Sony wasn't doing one. I booked my trip to Europe this year for E3 week because, like, I did it 1 year and Sony's press conference comes on, like, 3 in the morning over there.
No.
Like everybody else is at least during the day.
Yeah, Sony's is like late.
Yeah. And so I'm Sony's not doing it, so at least I won't have to worry about missing them. Like really at this point it looks like it's gonna be Microsoft who's doing one.
And so, have they moved back to Monday or are they still on Sunday?
They haven't announced anything. I mean I say that now, maybe Microsoft won't do a press conference.
I kinda want them to.
Or maybe
I'll be the only ones at this point, right?
Yeah, it would be weird to be the only. Like maybe they'll do like what they did with the Xbox One, where they had like that pre E3 event at like not that weird one with the no, that was the Kinect event, but they had like that one like where they announced like the TV features and stuff in like May, and then they did the other one at E3.
I mean, I'd be all right with that too. I mean, there's still Ubisoft.
Oh, God, no.
I bet Bethesda still has one.
I mean, I think Bethesda last year, but Bethesda was essentially like, here's a bunch of stuff that we're not working on yet that we're going to announce now. It would be weird to come back and be like, they're still in progress.
You're right, but I think
Doom, we have character models. Look,
Doom is supposed to come out this year. That Wolfenstein game is supposed to come out this year, and Rage will already have been out, I think.
Yes.
So I don't know. Like they still have stuff coming this year that they could like. You know, Doom is probably going to be their big fall game. But yeah, we won't get anything on Starfield or Elder Scrolls 6. Those aren't games. Anything else? Anybody got anything else?
I think that's it.
There was something that, but I have now forgotten it. So
I think Sekiro is going to be game of the year.
No.
Oh God, that's not news. That's just Jeff's fantasies.
I think this is going to be an awesome year for like games and movies. I'm so excited. Like so many amazing things.
You said that last year too, though.
Think of all the strategy games coming out this year, Jeff.
Last year was not.
But no, early in the year, you thought maybe, it was great.
Maybe. Already this year has been better than last year. Like, we had Resident Evil 2, which is amazing. And we have a new From Software game coming. So, and yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 for people that give a shit, which apparently doesn't feel like any of us did. But did any of you guys like actually play that?
I don't know.
Do you get it, Kingdom Hearts?
I have it, but I have not played it yet, so...
Dear Lord.
I don't think the...
Yeah, brand new Kingdom Hearts, you're playing Parasite Eve. What have you done, Chris?
He made the right decision.
And I'm playing Kingdom Hearts 1.
That's a bad decision right there. That game does not play well, at least for me.
It's fine, Jeff. You can hate them. That's fine. PS4 added remote play to your phone.
Wait, that was the other thing. Yes.
Oh my God! Why?
I don't know. But I don't. can you use the controller with iOS? Like, I didn't think you could. So I don't know how that actually plays. Seems weird.
Like, I can see it being good fake RPGs and stuff.
Yeah. You certainly don't want to play anything that requires any sort of twitchy gameplay, so.
Yeah, no. Not, I mean, I wouldn't really use remote play for twitchy gameplay in general, but yeah, I mean, because even if you have a controller, there's going to be a lag between it speaking to the system and your controller speaking to your phone.
Yeah. That's not going to work well.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, well. All right. So, I think we've hit everything big. Devil May Cry 5, probably from Jeff and I next week.
Ooh, yeah. Let's go play it right now.
Oh, Jeff's going to play it right now, so we will definitely have it from Jeff. Yeah. And then...
When does the Division 2 come out? Is that next week or is it the week after?
The 15th, so next Friday?
I'm still pondering it. Thinking about it.
I am proposing that we all buy the new Mortal Kombat and fight each other. Get a big fight.
We could just fight each other
for real. Wait, can you? I thought it was like one-on-one.
Probably.
So we can't all fight each other?
It's gotta be some sort of like fucking
tournament type setup.
Yeah, but it still would be fight.
Tournament's spelled with a K, right?
That's yes, it is.
Tournament.
Tournament. I mean, everyone here is bad at.
That's the thing. It's like all dive. Like we all suck at fighting games. We all kind of dig Mortal Kombat. Dive into a Mortal Kombat together.
I don't want to speak for Earl. I don't know if he's bad at fighting games. At
fighting games.
Terrible.
Yes.
I'm terrible.
I took it at the new Power Rangers fighting game that's coming out. Like, it's really cool. I'm probably gonna pick it up for $20. That's its price. Not me being cheap.
Like, why can't we all just play Mortal Kombat
X?
Right.
That we can play for free on GamePad. This would be like diving into a new, brand new game. Like
I haven't played Mortal Kombat X yet, so that was brand new to me.
Well, I guess we could do that too. But what? All right, let's try that out. Let's get super into that. Become Mortal Kombat experts, and then get this.
That's new one. Totally what's going to happen.
Right, we're gonna be going to Evo.
Yeah, I know.
Look, it's the dunce tournament.
Look at these idiots slapping each other.
No special moves.
Yeah,
look at him press X over and over and over again. Look at that shit.
No cheating right now. No using actual moves. Punching, kicking, guys.
Like, we get angry at the other person when they get up near one of those environmental items and you press RB. No, don't do that. That's cheating.
Look, whoa. Tony just used the same move 19 times in a row.
That's cheesing.
Oh, that would be exactly how those fighting games would go.
Why are they getting thrown out of Evo? I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah, Jeff, we'll keep that in mind.
I think we're going to do it.
Way back in the mind. So far back in the mind that we'll never think of it again.
That's a good idea.
I mean, I think we all got Super Smash Brothers, and I don't think we played that together.
This is also true.
That is a game we can play together.
I don't think it's a game I've played online.
No.
Probably for good reason.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.